after some serious work over NFL draft weekend and then some serious sleep on the back end, the Washington Football Talk podcast is back. Plenty to discuss and more interviews. Washington offensive coordinator Scott Turner joins the pod. Plus, who's the biggest winner and who's the biggest loser of the veterans on the roster after the draft? Let's dig into all of it. Starting now, Washington Football Talk Pod.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. As always, we're brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them and want you to do the exact same thing. A lot to discuss. Mitch Tischler is back on Twitter and back on the podcast. Pete Haley has gotten some sleep. His brain is no longer mush, and we're all back. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Great. It feels good to be back on Twitter. It's great to be back recording with you guys.
Yeah, I agree. The casino run that we teased at the end of last pod was – a really nice way to cap off the draft. And here we are now in this lovely month of May, looking and reacting to what this team has built.
That was a fun night. I'm really glad we went. Shout out to Jacob. I'm glad we went. I know it was not necessarily profitable for all of us, but it was a good time.
Profitable and fun, not profitable in money.
Either way, correct. It was fun as hell, yeah. and much needed.
So we have a money interview coming up with Scott Turner where he reveals, you know, because we haven't talked to Scott since free agency, since the signing of Fitzy and Curtis Samuel and all this other stuff. I think folks are really going to enjoy that. And before we get to that, though, there's kind of some fallout from the NFL draft. Two things I want to clear up a little bit. Ron Rivera came on the radio show with me and B-Mitch and basically explained that they didn't want to have to sign a bunch of UDFAs because that actually gets more – competitive, and that was a part of why they traded up or traded back into the draft to get the sixth rounder and then the additional seventh so they could just draft guys rather than have to like compete for them. I think a guy like Shaka Toney, the Penn State kid, I think they would have had to compete to sign him. Maybe he'd want to come here because of whatever, but it would have cost them more money probably, and including a signing bonus, which is a guarantee. All these numbers are fairly trivial, but you add them all up and maybe it matters to Ron. I also do think they targeted Cameron Cheeseman. So, you know, in 10 years, in 2 years, if he's no longer the snapper, you can hammer him for it. But if he is here a decade and it works fine, then it was worthwhile. So that was the UDFA thing. I know there's a lot of excitement about the running back. I'll let Pete talk about that. But the only other thing I wanted to talk about, and you see this after the draft always, you get a little bit of revisionist history. And now it's like, oh, well, of course, we were really thinking about trading up for a quarterback. And there was a guy we liked and this and that. Like, if you wanted to trade up for a quarterback, you would have traded up for the quarterback. The price the Bears paid to go to 11 wasn't that high. Maybe they didn't want a deal in the NFC East. They didn't want to if maybe their mind was made up and they got to 13, that's when you get interested because then you're not dealing with a division foe. But like, I do think because a lot of focus is so quarterback heavy that people are like, oh man, they must've been really close. I don't think they were close. How many times did Mayhew and Rivera say we're really happy with the quarterbacks on the roster? I think they meant that. And I don't think they were ever going up for a quarterback. I don't think it was really a debate in the second and third rounds. I don't think, and I think we're kind of as a group of people like reimagining things that were unrealistic. So that was my clearing stuff up off the top. Pete, go ahead and talk about the UDFA. They did sign the running back that went to high school with Chase Young.
Just real quick, I just wanted to touch back on the UDFA thing real quick. I thought that was one of the most poignant things that came out of the post-draft kind of round of availabilities because there was so much talk about them trading up for a long snapper and why would you go about doing that. But the fact that there was kind of a definite plan behind it and it wasn't just – about targeting this long snapper, I think is a little important just because, you know, we talk all the time about, you know, kind of gut reactions and quick trigger kind of movements and knowing that after the fact, there was kind of a long-term plan behind that move up, I think was important and further solidifies how kind of together everything that Ron and Martin and Marty are doing, and it's all part of a bigger plan. Pete, go about on the UDFA.
Yes, of course, we're all referring to Jarrett Patterson, and he's already gotten a couple of really good stamps of approval, most notably from his high school teammate, Chase Young, who quote tweeted our NBCS Washington football team story about Jarrett Patterson arriving and said, he's a dude. And if Chase Young calls you a dude, that is the ultimate sign of respect. So he's definitely on the smaller side, and he's not a super speedster, but the first line in his NFL.com draft profile is, good luck knocking this bowling ball of balance and power off his feet with a single blow. And then one of the strengths of Jarrett Patterson is arm tackles need not apply, as in this guy is a problem when he gets the ball in his hands. You can't take him down with a single defender. And to me, as we're kind of looking at winners and losers of the draft, this is direct competition for Peyton Barber. I know they value what he can do on short yardage stuff, and he's not making a ton of money, but he wasn't exactly dynamic. He was getting the 2 yards he needed, but it was never like 2 yards turned into 10. Patterson might be able to give you a 3rd-and-1 conversion, but also move you down the field a little further. So Jarrett Patterson is going to kind of be the darling of this year. He could be the Thad Moss. He doesn't have exactly the famous last name, but he has some famous production from college. Of course, the 8-touchdown game and just being a monster for Buffalo. So keep an eye on him. The fact that he was the only one they signed, aside from the money, I think shows you that they really think he's got a chance of making this team. So we'll see how Jarrett Patterson acquiesces himself with the burgundy and gold.
All due respect to Chase Young here. The fact that Barry Sanders tweeted him also about yes. fellow little man Thank stepping you. In, I think is pretty important and might be a little bit of a bigger kudos than his former high school teammate Chase Young's.
Yes.
It's well documented how much I love Barry Sanders. I think it is well documented how much I like Chase Young. I think we all got to pump the brakes a little bit here. We're talking about a Buffalo running back. That's a UDFA. Be a fun story though. I think eventually when rookie camp comes around and we get to be out there, I think it'll be a fun story to kind of see what he does. I forgot what rookie minicamp is like. Of all the things, it is not the juiciest, but it's one thing when you get a rookie quarterback or something, but we're going to go out there and all eyes are on a linebacker and an O-lineman. That's Mitch's dream.
Especially when there's no contact really. And you're literally just watching a linebacker like mimic steps and then just
and
let a running back
we
go
don't
by.
Get to talk to them. It's one thing when they're coming off the field and we just get to grab them and talk to them. We're still in Zoom world. So it's just going to be, whatever. It'll be good to return. Last year, there was no rookie minicamp. So at least this year there will be, or we believe there will be. I don't know what's official, so I'm not saying anything official.
I was texting with Kaim earlier about how good it's going to be, even though it's a can be a drag just to get the entire media corps back together, like hanging out, because it's wild to go through this draft process and not be around everybody and not, you know, not have those interactions that we normally have.
Agreed. So one more thing before we get to the winners and losers, and then we want to get to Scott Turner. Did you guys see this Bill Barnwell potential hypothetical trade for Aaron Rodgers? So it's Bill Barnwell covers the NFL for ESPN, really sharp dude. His hypothetical trade for Aaron Rodgers, 2 ones, 2 twos, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Matt Ioannidis goes to Green Bay. And in return, Washington gets Rodgers. I would do it in a second. Beamish had a lot of reservations, and a lot of them were about Rodgers. And you know what? I kind of get it. Like, I had been pro Rodgers because I think when they drafted Jordan Love, he's allowed to be pissed. But the fact that he's like telling other free agents not to sign with Green Bay, I find that a little dirty. Like, you're still under contract. Like, you're really not going to go back with them to the point where you're trying to like hurt your current teammates. I didn't love that, but still, I'm all in on this trade. I'm stunned by the amount of people that aren't all in on this trade. I confidently feel like Pete absolutely is, but I don't know about the big man, but I'll let you guys react.
Yeah, I am all in on that trade. If that's what it takes to get him here, I would do it in a heartbeat. And as far as the telling the free agents and stuff, I don't know that folks particularly think highly of Aaron Rodgers as a person around the league. I think that, and that I don't even mean around the league. I just mean in public. I think that he's kind of noted his issues with his family and girlfriends and whatever other things have happened along the way. And so, like, you know, is he a perfect dude? Is he a great guy? Maybe not. He's a great football player, though. And I would much rather have Aaron Rodgers, okay person, great football player, than Ryan Fitzpatrick, great person, okay football player. So to me, if it's 2-1s, 2-2s, ionitis, and whatever else, I would do that. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, giving up Fitzpatrick, that's fine. He's 38 years old. Giving up ionitis, that's fine. He's a really good defensive lineman. You have plenty of those. The first round picks, that hurts, but you're seeing really good teams like the Rams and others not value those as much. They use those as ways to get established players that they know are going to be good instead of hoping that they're going to become good. And then second rounders for Aaron Rodgers, give him 10. I don't care. So I understand he's older. I understand he's kind of a douche. But when he's standing there on Sunday winging the ball 45 yards to Terry McLaurin on a dime after spinning out of a sack, no one's going to care about the price it took to get him. No one's going to care about what his personality is like. He's the best quarterback in terms of pure talent I've ever seen. And if he ever joined Washington, it'd be the home runniest of home runs.
So I loved most of what you said. I kind of, Lord knows, I don't know how to do it, but one of those Instagram quote boards, I don't care that he's old. I don't care that he's a douche. I just want to see him spin it to Terry McLaurin 45 yards downfield. That would be a cool quote board. I do think I would not say he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. I think right now Mahomes is more talented. I think Peyton, I don't know. That just seems like a lot. I don't know that Brady's just a total package. I don't know that he's more arm talent than those guys. Like, Brady's the unicorn, dude. He's the greatest of all time. But from a straight arm talent, to me right now, it's Mahomes. And I'm not sure Rodgers was ever better than Peyton or Brady along the way. Maybe he was, but I don't know. He's your 1-1 seed?
I mean, sure, Mahomes is getting there, but just from like the way the ball zips around and how amazing he is on those final drives, to me it seems like Manning and Brady are just so smart and intelligent and anticipatory. Rodgers, I know, has those qualities, but then in the end, he can just outgun you and just, you know, the Hail Marys and all this stuff is just crazy. But who cares? I don't want this to turn into a Max Kellerman, Stephen A. thing about Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, because that doesn't do anybody any good.
All right. I also think it's worth pointing out that Rodgers has done it for years with little offensive talent around him, or minimal offensive talent around him.
Yeah, but now we are going to Max Kellerman, because I don't know. Brady had Gronk at times. He had Randy Moss at one point. But nobody's done more with less than Brady, ever.
Absolutely.
Now, I think the one thing I'll point out for Rodgers, I think Mike McCarthy's a numbskull. So I think that has hindered him. And I think it's funny how we get so caught up in crediting or not crediting quarterbacks for wins, but then a coach walks into an all-time player and gets a lot of wins, and everybody's like, oh, he must be a good coach. Is he? Like it's the Adam Gase effect. He helped Peyton, or did Peyton help him?
Yeah.
But again, none of that's for us. I don't think Rodgers is coming to DC. I do think they're going to go after hard a big name veteran in 2022. I don't think that's happening this summer. I think they're ready to ride with Fitz. There's some interesting comments that Ron made on a Chris Collinsworth podcast that I need to track down. But Hogs Haven did a good job of kind of pulling them out and explaining it. And Ron talks about, like, you know, the way to find successful quarterback is to draft them and develop them or have one of these veterans. He's like, what if there's another way? What if Fitz is at a stage of his career where he can be really good and you just can make it work that way? And I support trying something else, because I'd rather try something else that you think could work than convince yourself and maybe lie to yourself that to go all in on one of these rookies, that, oh, you know what, this is my guy and F it, we're going to trade up and get this done, even if that's not the guy you love. Like, try something else. Like, you've got a theory, test it. So I support them. All right, Pete had a good article on the winners and losers of the draft, and then we'll go to Turner. Give me the big winner. You always start with the bad news first, right? So give me the bad news first. Who's a loser in this draft? Give us a couple of them over here.
Well, because it's our website, I actually split them into two stories to maximize the views. So I did four veterans whose job security took a hit, And then I really just focused on one winner, and you guys can come up with others. The one winner is the guy we've been talking about a little, Fitzpatrick. They didn't draft a quarterback. They gave him left tackle. They drafted another receiver. It's his team now. That's obvious. The losers slash guys who are feeling a little nervous, I listed Steven Sims because they have Humphreys. They drafted Dax Milne, whatever his last name is. We're going to work on that. And Deami Brown's going to make the team. So that's one less spot. Humphreys and Milne are two more slot receivers. So SSJ is in trouble. Ron Christian, last year's starting left tackle, he ceded the job to Cornelius Lucas, and now Sam Cosmi's around. Another obvious one. And if Cosmi doesn't start, he's probably going to be that backup swing tackle unless he's a complete disaster. So Christian gets knocked down a peg. Everyone's favorite scapegoat, Troy Apke. He's got the speed to be the deep safety, which is what this defense needs. He's never actually proven the ability to do so. So while in theory he should stand out from all these in-the-box guys, he was already benched. He's not a draft pick from this regime. And Derek Forrest and BSJ. Derek Forrest is definitely a safety. BSJ might be one. So there you go. And then lastly, sort of a forgotten one since he didn't play last year, but Josh Harvey Clemens, he opted out. He's expected to return. That guy was supposed to be kind of the modern day coverage linebacker, but with Jamin Davis here and JHC having not played for the staff at all, you got to think he is on some tenuous ground. And then others, just honorable mentions, other receivers, Isaiah Wright, Kelvin Harmon, and then Peyton Barber with Jared Patterson. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but that's another guy who needs to at least bring it to ensure he's still around.
I mean, that list is pretty long. And so you only have one winner and like 12 losers.
Yeah, basically. Like, again, it was the winner was just a Fitzpatrick centric blog, but there are other ones and you guys can come up with some.
I think you nailed the losers. I think the losers are going to be in a general sense, fringe roster guys from the old regime.
How about one more here that I think you brought up on our call? Jimmy Moreland. How worried is Jimmy Moreland?
That's where I was going to go.
I don't think he's worried, though, because he can play. Like, what's your corner group? Jackson, Fuller, Juice.
You got Roberts, who is apparently wearing 28, which is a complete debacle, if that's true.
That's going away. That is some intern punched the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Wrong thing into the website.
But like, Moreland is a fan favorite and I love the guy. Are we sure he's that good?
No, definitely not. I'm just saying at like receivers, those guys are screwed. At corner, you still have Greg Stroman and Danny Johnson. Like, is Moreland not ahead of them?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, receiver, they've added to and gotten better, and they added three guys that are going to make the roster this year, right? Mm-hmm. Corner, they added two.
Yeah.
That are definitely Jackson and St. Juice. And then, you know, Forrest might be a safety. I think Apke for sure. I think that's a good one. And I'm not saying Moreland's not – Moreland's safe. Like, I'm – rent, don't buy, Jimmy. But I think there's more winners, though, than you mentioned. I think Logan Thomas is a big winner because even if Samus Reyes and John Bates are ready to go, I think he's still like the clear cut number one tight end. Like, imagine if they drafted Friermuth or something in the second. Like, that changes that. I think Antonio Gibson's a big winner.
True.
Dude, what if they drafted a second round running back just because it was somebody they loved and they never thought they'd get him? That didn't happen. I think for some of these guys, it solidifies their spot. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think at this point in his state, in his career, for the level of play, it's actually quite a bargain. But I would say Morgan Moses. And, dude, maybe like John Bostic, Cole Holcomb. I thought there might be more of an overhaul in linebacker than there was. Obviously, the first rounder is going to be a big-time player. But, like, Shaka Toney's a seventh rounder. I don't know that he's making the roster.
They could have easily brought in three linebackers there.
Yeah, for sure.
I think John Matsko is a winner in all this. Maybe not just draft, but also adding Eric Flowers.
Yeah, he's a winner in life because he just gets to coach O-lineman and Mitch is jealous.
But, I mean, he added a second-round tackle, so you have competition that, you know, Ron and everyone preaches about. They added Eric Flowers, so you have more guard depth. I don't think you're going to have to rely on Jaron Christian much. I think Wes Martin is, the tough spot for Wes Martin a little bit, so – I think that you're looking at more better players deeper along the line. And that includes your backup swing tackle. That includes your backup guard, backup center type situation. So they definitely improved there.
Yeah, and then the last one I think of is McLaurin, because he's just going to have less and less heat on him with Brown and Samuel being able to run around too. So Terry's numbers, I don't think, are going to take a hit. Fitzpatrick loves going to his number one receiver, as most quarterbacks do, but he typically tends to just mash that button. And McLaurin can hopefully get more single matchups and take better advantage of having a better quarterback to play with.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Scott Turner. Like, you add, you know, from the offensive perspective, there's way more playmakers. Your line should be a little better if Cosme can develop. You got Flowers. Like, I think you can look at it in a real positive light if you're him, for sure. Speaking of Scott Turner.
Yeah.
We got an interview with him. Want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out online, OrsmanVA.com. 6 locations throughout Northern Virginia. They'll take good care of you. And unless speak now or forever hold your peace until the next podcast, or we'll go to Scott Turner, boys. What do you say?
One more quick winner and loser. Both winner and loser, Cameron Cheeseman, for being drafted as a winner. Loser, because every fan is going to be watching everything that he does every snap of the season. And it's going to be tough for him if he doesn't have a near perfect season. Let's go to Scott Turner.
Well, even if, let's say this all went down a little different and Sundberg had retired, right? Like, he walked out on his own terms. I think just trading up for the Cheese Man in the 6th round is going to keep him way more on the radar than necessarily a rookie long snapper wants to be.
Right. And Sundberg was a community staple and awesome on this podcast. It's in terms of replacing a long snapper, it's going to be hard as hell.
Yeah. Those are big, big shoes. All right. Here comes Scott Turner. Enjoy it.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Major, major, major pleasure to bring back on the podcast Washington offensive coordinator, Mr. Scott Turner. I'm sure you're excited about Sam Cosmi, but I want to start with the more dynamic playmaker. Mitch can ask you about Cosmi. How fired up are you to get North Carolina wide receiver Diaby Brown?
Really excited about him. You know, he's a guy that we had targeted, kind of surprised that we were able to get him when we did, but just a guy that, you know, can really get down the field. Obviously, I think I saw a stat, he's one of two guys to ever average, 20 yards a catch 2 years in a row. And that's kind of, the thing that we were looking for, guys that are going to go make some plays down the field, track the ball, run by some people. And then he's got a lot of room to grow. I think we'll get him in here, with our coaches, get him work on, just kind of his route detail, and just expanding, the things that he's going to be able to do. And, he's going to come in early and he'll be able to, contribute, and make some plays. And then just his role will expand as he shows that it can.
There's nothing wrong with being a home run threat, but he talked about it in his press conference with us that he wants to show that he can be more than that. What gives you hope that he can be more than just the guy running straight down the sideline? What do you see in his game that allows you to think he can be a more complete receiver?
Just watching his natural athleticism, he's got great stride length. So that goes to being able to run by guys, but he also is, pretty good and under control. So he can change directions and the things that you've seen him, I really like the contested catches he made. They showed some of the highlights last night when we picked him, but just being able to catch the ball with bodies around him. And, you know, in the NFL, you know, obviously everyone's looking to get separation, but the guys that are the great players are the ones that, you know, don't need the separation necessarily always to ultimately make the play. And he's got that in his game. And then I think, you know, you see the athletic traits with the ability to run the routes, and then just refining those skills is going to help him, you know, again, consistently get separation and then run the full complement of the route tree and not just the, you know, the home run balls, which we also like.
I mean, from one pass catcher to another, did you see the Sam Cosmi touchdown catch on the backwards pass?
Now, that's not a catch though. That was a run. They threw it backwards. So that was a lateral, but he did catch it. And he's got a little juice. You know, I think, you know, with Sam, the thing that stood out with is just the athletic numbers, you know, and, you know, you talk about a left tackle with the size, you know, all the testing numbers, you know, the 4.8 40, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what those guys look like, you know, and for a guy that, what do you have? I think he had 35 starts in 37 games or something like that. That's a lot, playing a lot of football and shows a lot of durability at a tough position. You know, I could be wrong, but I believe that that Texas, they were the number one offense in the Big 12 this past year. And, you know, he's a captain and was a big part of that. So just adding a guy like that to our group, you know, we have a great group as far as leaders and, you know, the kind of leaders of our offense on the offensive line. And to put him in there, he's going to fit with those guys and get ready to get to work and make our guys better.
Scott, as much as everyone right now is focused, I don't believe we've gotten to talk to you kind of since free agency either. And through three rounds, four picks, no quarterbacks. I don't believe that was an accident. Obviously, I'm sure there were QBs you guys liked, but you were sticking to your draft board. And I think a lot of that is confidence in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Can you talk a little bit about your level of excitement of putting Fitzy into your offense?
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited about Ryan. You know, that was a guy in free agency that, you know, we wanted to get and we were able to get him. I mean, you look at the last 2 years, you know, he's really played the best football of his career, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, he's 38 years old. He's a couple months younger than me, but he's playing well. He's playing at a high level and there's no reason to believe that he's not going to continue that. And then, you know, then you look at, you know, kind of the other guys on our roster. We got guys that are in their, you know, mid 20s, that have played and had success in this league when they've been able to play, that guys that are still, you know, developmental type players. So, you know, you kind of got to weigh those things. And then also, you know, you can only play one quarterback, and we got the ability to add some players on offense and on defense also that are going to be out on the field helping us win games on Sunday. And I think that, you know, talking with Coach Rivera and Martin, you know, and Marty, you know, what we're trying to do here is we're just trying to make this roster as good as we possibly can be. And not just get so infatuated with, oh, we need this one position, we need this other position. We know, you know, obviously there's needs, you factor those into it, but, you know, the goal is just to get the best possible team we have, create competition. And then, you know, we're going to end up where we want to end up.
I don't know that people maybe recognize how really, really bad this offense was in 2019. How much better do you think you can get now with more skill position players, more guys understanding your system, Antonio Gibson having a full year of being a running back under his belt? Like, what kind of improvement would you like to see from your group? And obviously it's not complete yet. The draft's not done yet. All sorts of things can still change, but where do you feel like your offense is going?
We came in here obviously and, you know, we were evaluating the guys we had, you know, everyone dealt with the same situation, but we know the no offseason that's all been said. And what we tried to do was just get better over the course of last season. I felt like we did. I felt like offensively, we were playing our best football, at the end of the year, you know, towards the end of season, then into the playoffs. you know, we made an emphasis, about we got it. We got to make plays down the field, you know, in this offense to really open up everything else. I mean, you know, we did a great job with the short passing game. We had, you know, we found out about some guys as far as like Logan and JD and, you know, talk about Antonio being a rookie, and those guys came up big for us, and kind of we did what we had to do to win. And then to try to make that next step, you know, we got to get some plays down the field. And that's been an emphasis, you know, Fitzpatrick's done it, obviously, his whole career. And then, you know, you talk about guys like Curtis, Diami that we drafted. And then we'll continue.
How excited are you to be back with Curtis?
Yeah, I'm fired up, man. I Curtis is one of my all-time favorite guys. You know, being with him those years in Carolina, for 2 years, you know, high energy guy, really, really intelligent. You can do a lot of different things with him, and he's only 24 years old. And I think he's just scratching the surface on what he's capable of. And, you know, the fact that we were able to get him here and add him to, you know, the group that we already have is a great deal.
Have you had to pull rank on Ryan and be like, hey, chill out, young, and I've seen way more than you have. What's it going to be like working with him too?
No, it's been great. You know, we have great conversations. He's been in the league for so long and he's seen a lot of it. So you kind of lean on that when you get a veteran guy, just to be able to kind of, you know, work things back and forth. And that, you know, we've had 2 weeks of Zoom meetings now. When I talked to him for the first time, I told him, I said, I am, you know, 2 months older than you or whatever it is. He's like, actually, I was wondering that. I wasn't sure, you know, so I was just joking around. I have coached guys that were older than me before, but not in this case.
Going back to the quarterbacks real quick, talking about Heinicke and Allen, what are you looking to see, I guess, from the guy who you ultimately want to be kind of the main backup? What do one of those guys have to kind of show to take a step ahead of the other one?
You know, that's tough to say. I mean, we're going to have practice there. You know, we'll get these guys on the field, you know, this off season. And, you know, we evaluate everything, you know, we evaluate, you know, how they perform in practices. We obviously know we've seen them, you know, we've seen them in games, you know, Kyle's rehabbing. So we'll see exactly how that works with when he's going to be able to get out there. But it's just everything. It's just the, you know, decision making, the accuracy, you know, how they, you know, work with their teammates. And it won't be, you know, something that it's not a decision that we have to make anytime soon. So we'll just continue to evaluate it and then, you know, go with, you know, what we feel as we get closer to the season.
Scott, thank you so much for the time. Obviously, you got another four rounds of the draft today. We appreciate it. I was thinking about this for your offense to kind of know where you're at. Imagine the defense you're going to be practicing against. That's going to be a pretty good benchmark if you can get anything done in practice.
No, absolutely. And that was the case in training camp last year too. You know, they were challenging us every day. Obviously the D-line, you know, you got to get the ball out quick, you know, with the way that they rush, and, you know, gives us an opportunity to work and to keep getting better and, you know, and know that those are the challenges that await in this league. I mean, every week's going to give you different challenges, and to go against defense of that caliber and, obviously the defense coach staff we have, starting with, you know, Coach Rivera and Coach, you know, Del Rio, you know, they're going to give us the best every day. So it's good for me and it's good for us.
Glad to hear it. Last hit, Pete, do you remember this? Wasn't there like a 6 degrees of Aaron Rodgers that got to Scott Turner? Somebody tweeted about it because
Olivia or Shailene Woodley acted in some movie, who acted in some movie with this person, who acted in some show with Scott's wife or something.
No, his sister.
My sister.
Sorry.
Sister,
yeah.
So yeah. Just so you know, the Washington football team fandom is already tracking all that stuff on Twitter. I'm sure you're excited about that.
I'm sure. I'm sure there's a lot of things getting thrown around out there. So
you're telling me you haven't made that connection yet?
I didn't.
Thank you again, dude. Hopefully we get to physically see you. OTAs, mini camp, one of these things. We're inching back towards normalcy, and we're.
Yeah, I got both my shots, so I think we're getting close. So it'll be good.
Absolutely, good deal. Thanks very much, man.
All right, guys, thank you.
I understand he's older. I understand he's kind of a douche, but when he's standing there on Sunday, winging the ball 45 yards to Terry McLaurin on a dime after spinning out of a sack, no one's going to care about the price it took to get him. No one's going to care about what his personality is like.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.